all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense. It is Thursday, December 8th, and I can already tell 5 seconds into the show, I'm going to need this glass of water a little bit more often. It is one of those cases. I've been mentioning this head cold all week. We've now moved into that phase where I feel good, but I sound bad. So you know how that goes. It's no longer the, my voice is way down here because I'm stuffy. It's now, I'm feeling much better, but my throat says, oh no, I'm still raw as I'll get out.
It'll catch up.
Oh, I know. It'll be there. So I ask for your indulgence here. Coming up this morning, Kristen Lyerly joins us at both 6:30 and 7:30. At 6:30 to talk about a bill put forward by Senator Tammy Baldwin to help women who have to travel to other states now for abortion care. At 7:30, she'll be back to kick off the Hometown Health segment she's going to do every Thursday at 7:30, and we'll learn all about a community group working to improve public health all across Brown County by doing a bunch of little things together as a community. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki now that the midterm election cycle is finally over. About an hour from now, I'll have a little editorial on the case that may sink the Supreme Court candidacy of Jennifer Doro after somebody was out on bail and nearly murdered their parents last week. And we'll say goodbye to the last surviving creator of Schoolhouse Rock coming up in a couple of minutes. All right, to reach us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com or 715-388-7155. And if you do that, you're apt to talk to me or to our producer, Aaron Zimmerman. Zimmer.
Zorro? Like Judge Doro?
Synthesizer. What?
No, synthesizer. There, I like that one.
So here's how nice Aaron is. Todd and I have been saying his name differently on each show. And I finally forced the hand and said, which one of us is wrong? And he finally says, you are, which, you know, so I've been wrong all this time, but maybe he's the one that's more wrong because he hasn't fixed it. Then again, he could have at any point said, well, Mr. Kreitlow, you know, it's Zomer, not Zomer, not Zomer.
Or Zomers. The S is not a pluralization either. That's one that trips people up sometimes.
Oh, that's right. You don't pronounce the S, do you?
Or, well, I do. I like to. No, it is part of it.
You want the S in there?
Yes. Okay.
Is there an umlaut over any of these letters, by chance?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. If there is, no one ever told me about it.
Okay, good. Folks watching on our Facebook page and on Facebook, search for Up North News WI or watch us on our Wausau station, Bull Falls Radio. You're saying not only does he sound scratchy like he has a head cold, but he's wearing an extra layer today. And that's true. I've got this little fleece layer on over my shirt as well. And that is because one of the joys of home ownership is sometimes, like every few years, it seems, waking up overnight and feeling chilly and going out through the thermostat and realizing that your furnace is blowing cool air because the igniter won't work. And so there aren't those little flames that are, you know, heating up the air. And instead, we're just blowing the same air that's getting cooler and cooler. So we're down to 64, 63 degrees here in the house right now, and it's falling like a rock. But we'll see if we can get the furnace restarted or if we have to get a repair person in here. Honest to God, if I had a time machine, one of my many visits would be to the guy that built this house and say, no, not that furnace, anything else but that, because it seems like every, I don't know, 3-4 years, we have to go through this. And the house is now, well, it's just about to turn 30 years old. So
that's a bit often for a furnace.
It is. And yet the repair company says, well, that's not terribly unusual. Well, of course not. They get a bill. They get money out of me every few years, you know, as a result of this. So it might also, this scratchy throat also might have something to do with being out shoveling snow yesterday. We got a nice little burst of about a half inch. And it's one of those where if you don't go get it off your driveway right away, because it's a relatively small amount, it'll just turn into ice. It'll just, you know, the sun will melt it a little bit and then it'll freeze. And then that's it. You know, your driveway is going to be a slipping hazard from this point onward. So just more fun of home ownership. That's what it is.
That's one thing that I'm really not used to about living in an apartment. I feel lazy because I don't have to shovel at all. It's like even in the apartment I lived in before, it wasn't in a complex. So we still had to shovel and everything.
Oh, sure. Yep. I've told the story before about how when we moved to this house, our daughters were 4 and 6 at the time. And they'd lived in apartments before that. So whenever anything broke, you know, they're little kids. And we'd say, well, this man's going to come fix the dishwasher, or, you know, this man came and, you know, they'd see the repairmen coming, because we didn't have any women who were service techs. We weren't trying to be gender inappropriate here. Anyway, first thing goes wrong here at the house. I'm trying to work on something, getting frustrated. And the 6-year-old says, well, Dad, why don't you just call the men to come and fix it? And I'm like, no, honey, we're homeowners now. I'm the man that comes and fixes this with varying degrees of success. If you will recall the great toilet repair story that took up all of the month of August. But gosh darn it, we did finally get that toilet fixed. We didn't have to pay a plumber. I just had to pay way more money to Menards for parts than I would have liked. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have some sports notes, and we'll get into the Supreme Court talking about independent state legislature theory, which is not a thing, except for at least 3 right-wing justices certainly behaved like it was yesterday. And now we'll wait to see if a couple of more will, and throw a wrench into American democracy. And that's all coming up after this break on Up North News Radio.
Sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Yeah, that's Schoolhouse Rock, and one of my favorite tunes off of it. And in a bit, we're going to talk about how a bill becomes a law, or how in the case of this Supreme Court case, a law becomes a law just because the legislature wants it to, with absolutely no checks and balances from the Supreme Court or from anybody else for that matter. However, even after I'd chosen that music clip of I'm Just a Bill, I come to find out this morning that George Newell has died at 88. He is the last surviving member of the team that produced Schoolhouse Rock, the educational series that basically was Civics 101 for me and everybody else in, you know, early Generation X.
And it's pretty evergreen. Like, a lot of this stuff still gets played for people now. Like, I know when I was in school, we heard this song, you know, you got all the grammar ones like conjunction, junction. You've got
3 is a magic number. Yeah. Yep.
You've got yep. The shot heard round the world.
Yep. Yeah, I still, the only reason I know the preamble to the Constitution is because I can sing it. You know, we the people. Anyway, Schoolhouse Rock originated in the early 70s, and it happened because David McCall, who was president of an advertising agency at the time, complained to Mr. Newell, who was a creative director there, that his young sons didn't know any multiplication, but they could sing along to Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones. And so, was there any way to put multiplication tables to music? And this, you know, you looked for a quirky musician to help out named Ben Tucker, and then Bob Duro, his partner. And they, you know, wrote several songs to this day. For whatever reason, speaking of multiplication, I will just into my head will drop, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. And you can do that with almost every little snippet that drops into the head of somebody our age. And yeah, this is evergreen material. Math isn't going to change. The Constitution isn't going to change. The only thing that might change is how a bill becomes a law, which is going to be, you know, my next story here in a sec. But again, a tip of the cap to George Newell, part of the team and the last surviving member of Schoolhouse Rock, passing away at 88 with, a lot of respect for what you did for putting some education in between all those Saturday morning cartoons. By the way, there was something else in between those cartoons. Schoolhouse Rock was on ABC. CBS had In the News with Christopher Glenn. And again, those were I think 60 seconds long. And again, in bite-sized portions that kids could digest, would give some of the news from the past week. Well, a news story of the past week. And I don't know that there is anything remotely close to that now. Instead, there is, you know, TikTok challenges where people are eating spoonfuls of cinnamon or what have you. And I, what's that? Your mic is off.
Oh, sorry. Which is a terrible idea, by the way. Do not do that.
No, don't do it. Look, if the word challenge is in it, don't do it. It's like my wife likes to say, like, if you're doing something and all your friends start pointing their cell phone cameras at you, it's probably a mistake. Don't do it. And the same thing goes for anything that says challenge. So instead, maybe we need to work on ways to bring more information to people rather than goofball challenges. Anyway, to get back to I'm Just a Bill and what it is that we have Congress for and legislatures and courts. We've already talked about, we've set up this case previously. I'll try not to be too redundant here, but a rather goofball theory has made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is an overtly literal reading of a few words in the Constitution and read a certain way, although a way that has never been read that way previously, but read a certain way would indicate that state legislatures and only state legislatures can set the rules for elections in their state, at least federal elections, and that even their own state constitution doesn't apply. The governor of a state can't veto it. It's called independent state legislature theory. And it's being put forward by conservatives and Republicans who are always talking about limiting the role of government, when this is like the ultimate big government thing, that a legislature can just bigfoot itself and do whatever it wants to do with unchecked power. There's no way any conservative should be in favor of this unless it is politically convenient for you to be that way. Well, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson kicked off some of the arguments yesterday, asking one of the lawyers bringing this case about the state constitution and the state legislature, stating the obvious. The legislature itself is a creature of state constitutional law. In order for us to have this thing called the legislature, she says, we have to look at the state constitution to determine what that entity's powers are and how they can be exercised. Jackson continued, I don't understand how you can cut the state constitution out of the equation when it is giving the state legislature the authority to exercise legislative power. It's the state constitution that is telling the legislature when and under what circumstances it can act, which makes it already clear that Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, the newest justice, is going to be one of the smartest, and thankfully is going to be around for a while. Pardon me for a second while the guy with the scratchy throat takes a drink of water. All right. Now, Justice Delaney Kagan also asked the lawyer to think about the consequences of their position when it comes to checks and balances. She said, this would say that legislators could enact all manner of restrictions on voting, get rid of all kinds of voter protections that the state constitution, in fact, prohibits. It would allow legislatures to insert themselves and to give themselves a role in the certification of elections and the way election results are calculated. So in all of these ways, Kagan says, I think what might strike a person is that this is a proposal that gets rid of the normal checks and balances on the way big government decisions are made in this country at exactly a time when they're needed most, because legislators want to get reelected. And so they have incentives to suppress votes, to dilute votes, to negate votes, to prevent voters from having true access and true opportunity to engage the political process. And then Justice Kagan went on to say, I'm talking about you, Tom Tiffany, and Ron Johnson, and Scott Fitzgerald, and all the rest of you. She didn't actually say that, but she could have. Now, the lawyers bringing the case argued that checks and balances, you know, come from the federal constitution and federal laws like the Voting Rights Act, and that, you know, as they were trying to say, along with Justice Gorsuch, that there are instances where states can defy state constitutional limits on federal elections. And Gorsuch noted that this allows for what he called adaptability to changing circumstances. Adaptability to changing circumstances, like Republicans taking a majority, rigging the maps so they can hold a majority, and then wanting to change election law to give themselves ultimate power. I think those are the changing circumstances that Justice Gorsuch was talking about. Well, so back and forth it went, and I don't know that there's any other way to say that it looks like there will definitely be three conservatives, Gorsuch and Alito, of course, and Clarence Thomas, who will be for this. Obviously, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson are against. It appeared that Chief Justice John Roberts and surprisingly Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Justice Amy Comey Barrett seemed more conflicted. The New York Times writes, perhaps looking for ways to ensure that state courts do not take over supervision of the election process in which the legislatures are the primary actors. So the New York Times makes it sound like Roberts and Kavanaugh and Barrett are looking for some kind of nuance here. I wish I had confidence in that sense of nuance, because it just could easily be that this thing turns out to be a 6-3 vote, that this fringe legal theory could somehow become law based on this case that came out of North Carolina. All right, let's take a second, do the sports I would normally have done earlier, but I wanted to get into that case while we were talking about just being a bill. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 35 points, Drew Holiday added 31, and the Milwaukee Bucks beat Sacramento 126-113 on Wednesday night. This is the 13th win in a row for the Bucks over the Sacramento Kings, the Bucks' longest streak actively against an opponent. The Bucks also have a 12-game winning streak going against the Orlando Magic, and the Bucks will play again tomorrow, Friday night, down in Dallas, a 9 o'clock start time, and that game will be on ESPN. Let's get back to the NCAA volleyball tourney. That kicks off today, the round of 16. The winners today will move on to the final eight that played coming up on this Saturday to see who goes to the final four. So both the Badgers and Marquette are in. They're in two different brackets. So let's talk about the Marquette one first. They're down in Austin playing the University of Texas. They play, I don't have the start time in front of me. They play, it must be some time. Oh, I see. The first game in that bracket is Minnesota, the Gophers, taking on Ohio State. That's at noon today on ESPN2. 30 minutes after that game, Marquette will play Texas. Now, the Badgers, they too play 30 minutes after the first game. The first game is at the Fieldhouse today at 2:30. That's Pitt versus Florida, and that will be on ESPNU. 30 minutes after that, the Badgers will take on Penn State, and then the winners of those two games at the Fieldhouse will face off on Saturday for the right to move on to the Final Four of the NCAA volleyball tournament. So if you get a chance to check that out, again, ESPNU this afternoon for the Badgers, ESPN2 this afternoon for Marquette, which I guess I should tip my cap. When I looked at the full schedule, it looked like they were trying to stagger all the games so that every one of them would get some kind of TV coverage. And while that's a good thing, some of it is also streaming. Recall I mentioned on Monday having to get ESPN Plus set up on my home TV so I could watch the Badgers last weekend. It would be nice if people could just see these things without having to wonder, you know, what streaming service they're paying for and how much extra they got to pay for it. But, you know, getting them on TV is at least a good first step. I don't know, Aaron, do you have, and what do you have for streaming services? How many of these? I just got the Hulu as well, which I could get ESPN Plus and Disney as part of a bundle.
Oh, that's a good question. At this point, I don't even really know. We've got Amazon Prime, which of course gives you a decent amount of stuff included. Hulu, Netflix, HBO Max. I think we have NBA like a specific NBA thing. Although if we want to watch Bucks on it, we have to use a VPN and pretend that we're somewhere else.
Oh God, the VPN. Yes, I had to use that all the time when we lived in the Cayman Islands. Oh gosh, that's quite an exercise. And on Hulu, we've watched the first episode, finally, of Only Murders in the Building.
I love that show.
With Selena Gomez and Steve Martin and Martin Short. And I think we're going to like that one as we get into it. All right, let's take a break. Kristen Lyer-Lee is going to join us next to talk about a bill from Senator Tammy Baldwin to help women who now have to cross state lines like some kind of healthcare refugees to get the abortion care that they need. That's coming up after this break on Up North News Radio.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
You whined me and dined me when I was your girl.
This is Loretta Lynn, recently passed away, and this is her one of her milestone hits called The Pill.
Is a bed and a doctor bill. I'm tearing down your brooder house, 'cause now I've got the pill.
This was revolutionary at the time and actually rather controversial, that women were essentially now having more freedom to control their own bodies and not be trapped in relationships or in family cycles that they did not pursue. And our favorite radio OBGYN, Kristen Lyer-Lee, is here. And Kristen, were you aware much of that song back in the day? Or I have to admit, I didn't really hear about it until her obituaries recently.
I had definitely heard it, but no, I didn't grow up with that song. You're right. It's controversial, especially in the country music world.
Oh yeah. Yes. It was downright scandalous, but again, like everything back then, you know, it was empowering and you could just feel the sense of relief from so many corners. And that's why it's so weird to live in a time where we're doing almost the opposite with women feeling, you know, downright threatened and having rights taken away. And we're going to talk about all of that in just a minute, but I want to set that up coming out of the Loretta Lynn song. But before we get to the serious stuff, I want folks to know who've been listening in the first half hour that now that Kristen's here, I can formally accuse her of being the real reason why my throat is so scratchy today, because I had to do too much laughing yesterday after doing too much talking yesterday. I did this show, and then I did the first part of Todd Alba's show. And then I did a Facebook Live podcast with you and Kirk Bangstad, and I haven't laughed that much, you know, as part of a podcast. And it's not that my show doesn't try to be funny. It was all a comedy of errors. It was, we were supposed to hear one song and up comes a song from ABBA out of
that
nowhere.
It was a farce. It was an experiment. We were figuring it out. We did a nice job of holding it together while we figured it out and laughed a lot. I'll take the blame. I will take
don't
the blame
that
for
I
your
necessarily
voice.
Agree with that, but I think, yeah, compared to how bad it could have been, you know.
Maybe you guys need me to produce your podcast.
Oh, God.
Maybe we do.
Maybe we do.
Be careful what you ask for, Aaron.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look, we've got a frozen Pat. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's an unfrozen Pat. Pat's just a little dysfunctional today.
Oh my God. That's even before the furnace broke down.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 So anyway, Kristen's here making our day. Also, I have to, you know, I'm happy to promote something either from the Up North News website or the Up North News newsletter. And in the newsletter day before yesterday was a story about how to get a pep talk by a line called Dial a Kindergartner or something like that. Turns out Kristen has put this to use in her own life.
Yeah. Well, I had heard about it actually months ago because I have kids who live in the world of TikTok. And so they introduced me to a lot of these neat things. This is the sweetest thing. We should put the number out there because it is so cute. You just call this regular number and you get a menu of different options depending on how you're feeling.
Here's
so if
the
you
number.
Need- Yeah,
here's the number, 707-873-7000. 7862. Again, 707-873-7862. And you will hear options like, if you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, press 1. If you need a pep talk from a kindergartner, press 3. If you want to hear kids laughing with delight, press 4. And this all comes from Westside Union Elementary in Hillsburg, California, that you can call anytime for free and get free advice from a kindergartner.
It's so cute. If you're feeling sad, please call this number and press 4 so you can hear kindergartners giggle. And I guarantee you, you will feel better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. So, hey, now I know you might be thinking, why is Kristen here now? We've been for days and days saying she's going to be here Thursdays at 7:30. And you are, to kick off our hometown health segment. Do you want to give that a very quick preview?
Yeah. So we're going to talk with my dear friend, Natalie Bomstead, who's the executive director for Wello. And Wello is a community organization in Brown County that is focused on health and well-being. And it's not a Band-Aid organization. It is an upstream organization that really tries to get into the fabric of the society. So great conversation. The work that they're doing is incredible. And I can't wait for y'all to hear it.
All right. So that'll be coming up at 7:30 here on Up North News Radio. But I asked if you could come in a little early as well to talk about something that it's a new bill that's being sponsored by Senator Tammy Baldwin and others. Mm-hmm. And well, why don't we have you describe it, because you're actually going to be quoted in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article about it as well. So what would this bill do if it became law?
Yeah, I'm in her press release about it, too, just because she is so good about talking with experts when she needs, you know, she recognizes that she has a deep care for ensuring that we all have access to the quality, affordable healthcare that we deserve. And this is just another aspect of that. So she and Senator Murray are going to introduce the Reproductive Health Travel Fund Act today, which is legislation to provide women the support they need to access reproductive health services. And what it would do is provide grants to organizations, including abortion funds. There are lots of funds that are out there right now that are accepting donations from private citizens to help defray the cost of the expense of seeking an abortion in states where we have bans, where we can't provide that care here. So there's legislation that's also being introduced in the House of Representatives by Representative Strickland from Washington, Representative Fletcher from Texas, and Cori Bush in Missouri. I think that this is really a very important counter to so many of the negative things that are happening in states. And it's a great way for the federal government to say, we've got you, we're here to help.
Well, especially because we, through the Dobbs decision, mm-hmm. instead of one nationwide right to reproductive health care, we now have this patchwork, this checkerboard of 50 different state rules, freedoms versus restrictions. And so, yes, this grant program would allow the Treasury Secretary to give grants to eligible entities to pay for travel-related expenses, round-trip travel, lodging, meals, childcare, translation services, doula care, patient education and information services. It's written in a way to avoid any conflict with the Hyde Amendment, which ties the hands of the federal government when it comes to helping women access abortion directly. But this helps pay for some of the support costs because, and again, this might be an extreme term, and I apologize if so, but I frankly believe the Dobbs decision has turned some women into healthcare refugees who now it's have true. To move to other states to get care that should be available everywhere.
Yeah, it's really true. And financial burdens are a huge piece, a huge reason why people can't access the care that they need and deserve. Of course, there are other burdens as well, you know, social, complicated relationships, other things like that. But this will take away one of the biggest access barriers to care. And I think that it's going to make a big difference for many, many people. And they're going to use the existing infrastructure that's there by helping to fund some of these funds that are already in play.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, we obviously can't say that with any sort of definitive purpose that this is going to become law. It could, you know, before Republicans take control of the House. It's not likely, but this is the kind of thing that needs to be put out there now to lay a marker down and to say, mm-hmm. this is what your elected officials should stand for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's a response. You know, when something like this happens and people are left in a healthcare desert and they can't get what they need in order to live their lives. And it affects the entire rest of your life. I mean, certainly these decisions are not something that are just something that are happening to you right now. If you are forced to give birth and forced to raise a child that you can't afford, or maybe your health can't handle it. Maybe you've got a blood pressure issue. Maybe you have a chronic medical issue, and this is going to affect your health for the rest of your life. I mean, this is really changing the course of people's lives. So for the federal government to be able to step in and say, we've got resources for you, we're going to try to counter some of the badness that's happening within the states, I think it's incredibly important legislation, and so proud of Senator Tammy Baldwin. Not at all surprised when she came through with this, because this is just entirely in her wheelhouse.
It's something that you would like to see more of our representatives in Congress support. So it was brought to my attention that the congressman up north, Tom Tiffany, has put out a new constituent survey. And again, your tax dollars paid for this survey. He lists top 10 issues and asks, what issues would you like to see Congress address in the new year? Well, here are his top 10 issues. Secure the border. Investigate the politicization of the FBI, balance the budget and rein in government spending, lower healthcare costs, protect the First and Second Amendment, I guess the others don't matter, bring back American energy independence, combat the rise in violent crime, ensure parental rights in education, wink, restore election integrity, address China's unfair trade practices. My favorite response on Facebook, somebody named Fred Felix put, where's the other box? It was Don Winquist who said, I checked other and stated, get rid of you. That perhaps should be the priority if that's what you think the top 10 issues are facing the United States.
Well, I have not seen this survey, but I have seen similar surveys from my congressmen, and they tend to be a list like that is the list. And then like maybe other at the bottom, like there aren't any other alternatives, or the way that they word it is so ridiculous that you don't have really any options. So, you know, that, I mean, he now says that this is a survey, that this is what people care about, but the truth is he's not giving them any other options.
Oh no. I mean, it's garbage. It's garbage that we all paid for. It's, you know, it's campaign material under the guise of, you know, asking you what your opinion is. But if you really wanted to work for the majority of people, well, first off, you wouldn't rig the maps, and then you probably wouldn't be in office. But again, to get back to the issue at hand, among those top issues, I believe plenty of women and their allies sent the message that we want you working on restoring rights that we had for half a century.
Legitimate polls have shown this over and over and over again. I mean, look at what happened in Kansas. Kansas is no hotbed of liberalism, but they clearly said, we want to be able to make our own decisions about our own bodies. And that's the case here in Wisconsin as well. But when you control the narrative, when you are telling people what they are thinking, like Tiffany does, that's what you get. It's not right. But Senator Baldwin understands that because she's a listener. And that is how this legislation was written.
Did you see the clip yet of Lizzo on the People's Choice Awards the other night?
No, tell me about it. I love her.
Oh my goodness. I was hoping you had, and I should have sent you the note about it. So Lizzo received this major award from the People's Choice Awards. Say about it what you will. My point isn't the award. The speech that she gave said, I don't want to be considered an icon. I'm not the one who does the work. Let me introduce you to people that do the work. And then she brought out at least a dozen different women from all these different organizations fighting for healthcare rights, fighting for trans rights, fighting against gun violence, every one of them getting this big ovation. She turned over all of her acceptance speech to introduce all of these women who are fighting in our community in different ways to do a better job than our politicians are in terms of, you know, advocating for us, for our rights, for our safety and everything else. And it was just really high energy and a wonderful thing to see.
I love her. Yes, she comes from a super strong faith background. Her family founded a church in Detroit. She is all about community building. And that's the thing that I love so much about Lizzo. She has earned it. And now she's got this voice and she's using it to empower other people. And man, I mean, I love her music, but every time I listen to her, I'm like, yeah, just like the kindergartners on the phone. I feel better because of Lizzo.
Yeah, exactly. And then she got recognized, of course, by many people for this. Stevie Nicks put up a handwritten note that said, you know, your presentation last night was not only beautiful and needed, you get the award for being a great woman of our time. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed and touched that you put that together and pulled it off. It was stunning. You have given all women sound bites forever. Your name is in the stars now. Again, just that kind of service that needed to be recognized, much like we do on a very local level for one Kristen Lierley. Thank you. You do help us bring attention to very important issues. So now we're gonna completely throw away all that serious and heavy stuff with some music history next.
I'm so excited. Break
on Up North News Radio.
Daddy, don't you worry none, 'cause mama's got the pill.
How in the world can it be 42 years already since we lost John Lennon being murdered in New York City on this day in 1980? I recall being, I was a junior in high school, and I had this routine, Kristen. I was one of those kids, some kids are like this, they either read under the covers, or in my case, I also had a radio that I would try to tune in long distance, you know, radio stations from all over. Uh-huh. And I remember the bulletins coming over about it and just being completely, you know, dumbfounded. And, you know, it was just another teenager's introduction to, you know, the gun violence that we have to face in our world.
Mm-hmm. I was in sixth grade, and I'm not kidding, I didn't go to school for a week after that. I was just, and I had lost my dad a few months before that. So I think I was in kind of a dark place as a kid, but that really affected me. And I'm still a giant Beatles fan, and John's my favorite.
Oh yeah, same here. All right, let's work our way probably mostly oldest to newest here on this day in music history. I don't know this song from this day in 1961, but it was the first single by the Beach Boys, which sounded like the next 17 that followed, about surfing.
I got up this morning, turned on my radio. I was checking out the surfing scene to see if I would go. And when the DJ,
God only knows how many orthopedists made a good living because the Beach Boys encouraged people to take up surfing. And, you know, then they'd fall all over themselves and break things.
How many songs you can write about just surfing?
Oh,
and
I know.
They're all hits.
All of them. They wrote all of them. And then they branched off into other things that, you know, with Brian Wilson just being, a genius. And there's a movie about him that I would strongly recommend everybody see. On this day in 1972, Carly Simon's No Secrets album is certified gold with one of my very favorite songs from Carly Simon. Loved her so much.
Did you see her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, you've got to watch the rest of the episode.
I know. I'm going to watch it this weekend. So I can't wait. 4 years later, this day in 1976, the Eagles released a little album you might have heard about.
Sounds so familiar.
I know. I don't know if I can quite place it. Now, when the Eagles finally returned from their 14-year breakup and did, Hell Freezes Over, and they did that live version that starts with, you know, a lot of acoustic guitar before the song really gets going. You remember the first time hearing that? Because at first you're like, wait a minute, what song is this? And then they get into it and the crowd goes crazy and
yes.
I mean, as a listener, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, they're back together. This is so great.
You know? Yes.
Look, they can't all be winners. On this day in 1979, Styx had their one and only number one hit single.
So please believe me, my heart is in your hand. I'll be missing you.
Okay, that's enough of that. Let's move on.
You don't love that song?
It's just I've heard it 10,000 times. It doesn't move me anymore. It's very much a high school dance song. The very awkward dancing that goes on in high school. Well, high schools don't have dances anymore, but
I feel like there's a lot more to the story, Pat, that maybe we need to unpack sometime over a beer.
Let's make it two beers. On this day in 1984, Hall & Oates got their sixth and final number one single on the charts.
Hall & Oates!
You know the only reason that Millennials play here this long?
You love it?
I do. They're my favorites, and my wife hates them. They are, to her, what Air Supply is to me. One of her favorites that's really not one of mine. And
you need me to turn it up louder at all?
If that's the biggest problem you have after, 36 years of marriage, then I guess you're okay. So I will restrict Hall & Oates to the radio here.
You know, Daryl Hall is going to be in Madison this spring.
I know. I really want to go see it. And I love Live from Daryl's House. That's been such a great series over the years.
I'm feeling like a remote show may be happening at some point.
Okay. This day in 2013, Metallica performed a concert in a dome in Antarctica, making them the first band to perform on all seven continents. I don't remember that, but, hey, more power to you. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1991 was the formal dissolution of the Soviet Union. Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers was born on this day in 1947. He passed away 5 years ago. Nicki Minaj is 40 years old today. Wow. It's always weird when I see some of these younger stars hit 30 or 40. It's, time just keeps going. You ain't stopping it.
That's another thing from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When Eminem went up to, after his show, he went up to make his speech, and then he put his glasses on so he could read it.
Oh, that's great. And one more birthday, born on this day in 1943, a fellow named Jim Morrison.
Oh.
He passed away at either the age of 27 or 28. I'm not doing math all that well today.
27. There's a whole 27 thing. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix.
That's right. There is. Boy, now 27. That was more than 27 years ago for me. Yikes.
I think you're in the clear.
Yeah, I don't think I'm in danger. I mean, both my daughters are older than 27. My grandson is closer to 27. My goodness. How does this always turn into the old man reminiscing segment? I don't know. Maybe I had something to do with that. Now, wait a minute. Where was Daryl Hall just playing that you sent a picture of the theater marquee?
That was Madison. It was like a preview.
Oh, okay.
That's what a big deal it is. They're already previewing the spring show that's coming at the Orpheum.
Oh, okay. All right. I did get to see, who was it? Doobie Brothers and, Steely Dan a couple of years back. So I'm still trying to see these folks before they all kick the bucket while they can still sing a bit here, but I don't have anything on the horizon. I'm going to have to take a look and see who's touring these days. The people that I know, I couldn't possibly name a Nicki Minaj song. I know her. I've seen her, kind of admire her, but I'm kind of out of touch with the genre. I don't know. Why don't I turn this around on you? What's your favorite Nicki Minaj song?
Super Bass. Actually, I heard it on the radio yesterday and I was thinking, I really like this song. It's really upbeat. You can sing to it. So to know it's her birthday today, I feel like there's a little Nicki Minaj in the universe right now.
Damn it. She had the answer. I didn't think she'd be able to name one.
I have an answer too. I like Feeling Myself, which features Beyonce.
Okay, you're both done now. That's it. If you don't mind, I'm going to go back and crank some Hall & Oates while we do some news at the top of the hour here.
Put your sweater on.
I have it on. The furnace is broken, remember?
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
All right. We will see you again at 7:30 to talk about hometown health. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Kristen. We'll talk to you again in a little bit. Coming up next, did Judge Jennifer Doro hurt her chances at state Supreme Court by a very unfortunate turn of events? Or what does it say about the people who criticized Mandela Barnes about cashless bail? That's coming up next on Up North News Radio.